Care Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Well, the first state survey of how many people in Ireland have long COVID begins today, with the HSE planning to invite people from seven counties, including Kildare, West Wicklow, South Dublin, Laois, Offaly, Longford and Westmeath, who had COVID to take part. On the line is Dr. Fiona Maguire, Specialist Registrar in Public Health Medicine with the HSE. Good morning to you, Dr. Maguire, and thanks for joining us.
Morning, Owen, and thanks for asking me along today to talk about our FODA survey.
No problem at all. So until now, I suppose, it hasn't really been clear how many people have had the debilitating condition, which has been a source of great frustration for advocates pushing for support. So from your point of view, what are you hoping to achieve at the HSE from this survey?
So as far as we know, this is the first big population study looking at how people are recovering from COVID-19 in Ireland. And what we want to ask people who have recovered from COVID-19 is, how are you now? Do you still have symptoms of COVID-19? Are you still living with health problems as a result of your COVID-19 infection? Or do you feel totally fine? And if you're invited to take part in our survey, we would really be grateful if you could click the link and take part, even if you feel totally fine, because it's really important that we hear from everybody so that we get a good picture of how people are recovering from COVID-19 and if there are any differences between people who take longer to recover and people who recover quickly.
So up until now, I understand the HSE has relied on international estimates showing that between 10 and 20% of infected people develop longer term symptoms, such as long COVID. So as you say, this is one of the first major surveys that are going to be carried out specifically here in Ireland.
That's right, Owen. And while it is great that we have this emerging body of evidence from all over the world, it's really important that we carry out research and projects into the Irish population. Because in Ireland, we do have a very good uptake of COVID-19 vaccine. We had our own protocols in place during COVID-19 and during the lockdown. And another thing that we're hoping to come out of the work that we're doing is that we will find out what are the health needs of people in Ireland today who are living with prolonged symptoms of COVID-19, like long COVID. What are the things that people need? What are the challenges that people are facing? And we would really hope that we can use our findings to help shape our health services in Ireland as we recover from the pandemic. And I think if we're talking about work that's potentially going to shape the Irish healthcare services, it's really important that work is carried out in the Irish population.
What can you tell us about long COVID, Dr. Maguire, in terms of signs and symptoms or what people might need to look out for?
So long COVID, one of the things we've realised about long COVID is that it's a very complicated condition. It comes and it goes. The symptoms evolve over time and they change over time and they affect different parts of the body and sometimes at different times. And sometimes people can feel that they're completely recovered for a period of time and then they can have a relapse and feel unwell again. Or sometimes when they have the relapse, it affects a completely different part of their body. So it really is a complicated condition. And I think that makes it very frustrating and very debilitating for people who are living with it. And the other thing about long COVID is that there's no blood test that will diagnose it. The symptoms really do include quite a wide range of symptoms. It can affect your breathing or your lungs, so you might find that you have shortness of breath or chest pain or a cough. Fatigue can be a real feature of long COVID. And by fatigue, I mean just severe tiredness. You could go to bed for 9 hours and wake up and feel like you haven't slept a wink. You know, profound tiredness and a lack of energy. And bearing in mind that this may be somebody who was perfectly healthy until they got their COVID infection, it can be completely life-changing. And it can affect their ability to do the things in life that we all take for granted when we're in the full of our health. You know, looking after our kids, looking after older people in our lives, going to work, even things like having a shower and getting dressed, all the activities of daily living that we take for granted. Pain can also be a feature of long COVID, and pain can affect any part of the body, but also your muscles and your joints can be particularly affected by long COVID. Sometimes it can affect the digestive system. It can cause things like diarrhea, vomiting, queasiness. sometimes it can affect the brain and the neurological symptom. People talk about headaches and dizziness and also brain fog, which isn't really a medical term, but it means a difficulty focusing on things or concentrating on things, difficulties learning new information or processing information, which we do all the time without even thinking about it. It can also cause, you know, mental health problems as well. It can cause people to feel depressed or anxious, and as well as that, some people who are recovering from COVID will have experienced, you know, quite traumatic times during their illness. They might have been in hospital, they might have been very ill, they might have lost people due to COVID-19. So all of this will impact on mental health. It can cause funny rashes as well, and it can also affect the ear, nose and throat system. So it can cause things like long-standing changes in your taste and your smell, ringing in your ears, changes in your voice. So it really is quite a multi-system disorder, and that makes it really challenging, both for us as doctors and healthcare professionals as we try and help people, but particularly for people who are living with this every single day.
So this survey is phase one. The results are expected in September. And as I mentioned from the outset, Kildare, West Wicklow, South Dublin, Laois, Offaly, Longford and Westmeath are the areas that you're going to be covering and surveying. How do people get involved, or how are they going to be invited to take part in the survey? And what questions are likely to be asked, Dr. Maguire?
So the way we're inviting people to our online survey is by old-fashioned text messages. So we won't be sliding into your DMs or anything like that. And people who are selected to take part will receive 3 text messages, which seems like a lot, I know, but we're very conscious of the times that we live in and how common, I suppose, internet scams are and phishing, and how wary people can be of clicking on links. And we want to do everything that we can to reassure people that the messages that they're getting from us are genuine. So the first text message that they get will just simply tell them that they've been selected to take part in our survey. The second text message will give them a link to the information on our website, and we'd really appreciate it if people could read that information before they take part in the survey, because it should answer any questions that they have. And then the third link that they get will, or the third text message that they get will contain a secure link to our survey, which is on a secure platform called the Qualtrics platform. And if they click on that link, they can take part in the survey. If you don't have any long COVID symptoms, we think you'll probably be finished with the survey in about 5 to 10 minutes. So it won't take long, and we would really appreciate it if you could take that time, because the information that you give us will help us to understand this horrible disease, but it will also help us understand how we can protect people in the future if, God forbid, we do get another wave of COVID-19. If you do have long COVID, it probably will take you a little bit longer to fill in the survey, maybe up to 20 minutes, and that's because we need to ask you a little bit more detail about the symptoms that you have. And if you do have long COVID, you might find it hard to concentrate or look at your phone for that long. And it's totally fine to go and take breaks and return to the survey after a period of time. And if you do that, you'll be able to pick up where you left off. Once you click back into the survey, it'll bring you back to the place you exited the survey at. The types of questions that we have, I suppose we're focusing, first of all, on when you had COVID, your initial infection, and how many times you had COVID, and how sick you were when you did have COVID. And if you've had COVID a few times, we'll ask you how sick you were at your sickest. And then we're going to move on to ask, do you still have symptoms related to your COVID-19 infection? Or did you have symptoms for a long time, but now you're better? Or were you just sick during your acute infection, recovered really quickly, and don't have any long-term effects or any ill effects as a result of that? And once we've teased through the symptoms, our final part of our survey is to ask you a little bit about your social and economic factors that will just help us decide if there's anything, any factors that some people have that maybe make them more at risk of taking longer to recover from long COVID.
Okay, and finally then, Dr. Maguire, is this kind of the first step of a long-term plan from the HSE in researching COVID and long COVID? I mentioned that it's phase one. Is there likely to be other phases down the line?
So it really depends how this survey in Kildare and the six other counties goes. We're hoping to get 5,000 responses, and we're hoping that we will have enough information, because the population in those seven counties is about 1 million people. It's a mixture of people who live in urban dwellings, people who are rural dwelling, people from all different types of backgrounds. So if we get a really good response rate, we might be able to generalise our findings to the whole of Ireland. But it is likely we might need to roll out the survey wider and even nationally. And then depending on what we find when we get the results of our survey, when we analyse the results, we might need to do more research, or we might be able to make some recommendations to the decision makers and the policy makers in our health service and our government to make sure that we shape our health service, to make sure that the needs of the people in Ireland at the moment who have lived through COVID-19 are being met.
Okay, can you remind me again just briefly of those three messages that the HSE will send out? Because as you say, there are a lot of kind of phishing scams and links that are sent out, and we urge people not to click on the links. But coming from yourselves, just remind us what will be genuine.
Yes, so the messages you will get from us will be three messages. The first one will be inviting you to take part in our survey and telling you that you've been chosen. The second message will contain a link that will bring you to the information on our website. And the third message will contain a secure link to our survey. We will not be asking you for your name, your date of birth, your PPS number, your star sign, and we definitely won't be asking you for your bank details or your credit or debit card details. So certainly don't, you know, we won't be asking for any of that information in our survey.
Okay, that's the HSE launching an online survey looking at how people are recovering from COVID-19. They've launched it here in Kildare, as well as West Wicklow, South Dublin, Laois, Offaly, Longford and Westmeath. And that is Dr. Fiona Maguire, Specialist Registrar in Public Health Medicine at the HSE. Thanks indeed, Dr. Maguire, for your time, and good morning. And I'm sure we'll follow up with you as soon as you get those results from the survey here on KFM. Now, if we go to more local issues, yesterday we were contacted by a number of concerned residents in Kilmeag about the condition of the road through the village, particularly out towards Milltown and down by some of the housing estates in Kilmeag. I travelled out to the village yesterday evening to meet up with Mike, a local resident, who expressed to me his concerns.
The road actually, Owen, is just, it's gone to the stage that it's nearly impassable, because the top layer of tar is gone off the bottom layer and there's actually holes in it. Anyone travelling to work, like, it is, it's having a knock-on effect on motors, because their cars are being affected. Like, we're paying NCT, we're paying road tax, and, like, this is what we have to deal with. You know, like, it's not, and, like, it's like that since the middle of last year, since June or July of last year, and it hasn't been maintained. Nothing has been done with it.
We went up and had a look in the middle of Kilmeag village, outside the shop, outside some of the estates there, Church View and Castle Bawn, and there's a number of potholes that you say even you know people who have had issues with their cars having hit one of those potholes.
Yes, that's right, Owen. Even my sister has struck one of those potholes on a couple of occasions, and it's not tracking off on her car. And like, every time you go to get the tracking done on your car, it's €40. And we're, as I said, you were NCT in our cars. That's €55 every time you go to NCT your car. We don't mind paying for something if we're getting something in return, but it's not, nothing's happening. The road's not being repaired to a standard. And especially this country that's in the EU, like, it's, the road is not up to EU standard.
It's a small village, but a village that would see quite a lot of cars going through it, coming from Robertstown, from Milltown, from Allen Wood, from Ballyteague, particularly in the mornings, the likes of trucks, school buses coming through this area.
Yes, and you'd have trucks, as you say, school buses, like, it's, and as you say, it's the road from, it links to Rathcoffey, Carbery, Clan, all that general area, even Edenderry, people coming across from Edenderry towards Allen Wood. And you've actually people from Johnstown, Mucklin, all that area. It is the main road, as you say, and it would be very busy.
What would you like to see done here, and what do you think would be the ultimate solution? Because from what I can see, there's a number of potholes there that would need to be filled. Does the road, in your view, need to be completely resurfaced?
It does, Owen. It needs to be resurfaced badly from that old barn on the way in up to the junction in Kilmeag. It does need to be resurfaced, and badly. Like, it's anyone on a motorbike, even on a dark night, like, hitting them holes, they're having a hope. It's serious.
That's Mike, a local resident in Kilmeag, speaking with me yesterday evening when we went out to Kilmeag Village, and we'll follow up with Kildare County Council after the show this morning and bring it to the attention of some of the local councillors there in the Kilmeag area. And thanks to Mike for speaking with me. After the break, 2,000 children lacking school special needs access because of staff shortages, and Bookselling Ireland concerned that children won't have school books in time for the start of the next school year.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, just a reminder that following consultation with the HSE, Ishke Éireann and Carlow County Council have issued a boil water notice to protect approximately 8,500 customers supplied by the Carlow North Regional Public Water Supply. That includes Castledermot, Davidstown, Grainy and surrounding areas of Kildare, as well as Palatine, Killarig, Grange, Rathvilly and other areas in Carlow, such as Tullow, Ballon, Kerry, Tankardstown, etc., and also Liscolman and Ballyconnell in County Wicklow. You can get more information on water.ie and also on our website at kfmradio.com. Now, families desperate to access school places and educational services for children who have additional needs are being left in a void due to staff vacancies. Well, Labour Senator Mark Wall is with us now. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Owen.
More than 2,000 children are without access to a special education needs organiser, or a SENO. That's a person who advises about special classes and special schools in their area, including here in Kildare, Mark.
Yeah, it's quite worrying and will be concerned to a lot of parents that I'm dealing with, Owen, and I've been on your show about these issues previously. But this is information that was received by my colleague, Deputy Sean Sherlock, from the Minister for Education, which tells us, as you say, that there are 2,000 children without access to a special SENO. Unfortunately, there are two vacancies in Kildare, which means that in Kildare there are 600 children who lack access to a SENO, and that also reflects in the schools, because each SENO is responsible for up to 55 schools. So you can actually do the figures and state also that over 110 schools are without access to a SENO, and the issues there obviously arising from that. It's a worry, it's a concern. Recruitment has started, but obviously recruitment needs to be enhanced by the HSE to fill, and the Department of Education to fill these places as quickly as possible. It's an issue I get on a weekly basis, where parents are crying out looking for schools. In a lot of cases, parents are applying to 4 and 5 different schools, and they need access to the SENO to advise them of the best school for their child's needs and their loved one's needs, and that's what needs to happen here as quickly as possible.
Okay, two vacancies in Kildare, which, as you say, Mark, is impacting 600 children in this county. There's also vacancies across the border in Carlow and in Wicklow. What, in your view, is the reason for the delay? Why have these vacancies not been filled?
Well, when I meet with the HSE, when I meet with the department and I raise issues like this, we're told about a recruitment crisis, Owen. But this has been going on now for a couple of years. And what we need to do is, as I say, enhance that recruitment. We need to look outside the box. We need to look at, in foreign, European countries where people may be available to start filling these vacancies. Because right throughout the services that are needed for those that have loved ones with special needs, there are vacancies. And it's causing an impact on a daily basis, as you're aware, and on the Autism All-Party Committee in the Oireachtas. And we get this almost at every meeting from parents, that the lack of services that are there, and it's really affecting families. Families are not getting the services that they need for their loved ones, and it is impacting the quality of life of those loved ones and those families. So what needs to happen is the HSE need to enhance their recruitment process. We're told with this latest one that they hope to have some vacancies filled by the end of May. Unfortunately, they're not in a position to tell us yet if the two posts will be filled in Kildare, but hopefully they will. But it's really stretching, the three existing SENOs who do a great job in Kildare, but the families are not getting access to the SENOs in the need at the time that they need to talk to them. And that's happening at the moment as families look towards September, and organising a place for their loved one in that special school if that's needed.
Okay, this was covered as well in the Irish Examiner newspaper, and a spokesman for the National Council for Special Education said the delivery of education services is managed by 5 regions. regional managers across 10 teams. Recruitment competitions have continued into this year, with start dates for additional Senos agreed between January and early May, he added. And he also says, in the meantime, where a Seno post is vacant, responsibility for supporting families and schools in relation to managing transitions and securing school placement remains a regional team priority. Before I let you go, Mark, yesterday we spoke to a woman, Claire Shanley from Sallins, who was struggling to get her daughter into Sallins National School, where she already has two children in that school. You have constantly received phone calls in the south of the county regarding the lack of school capacity, school places. We're coming into, you know, registration for the next school term now. I'm sure you're getting more phone calls about that.
I am, all. It's a serious, serious issue, and I only raised this last week with the minister once again because I received a number of phone calls from the Nurney area, from the Kildare Town area, and the Newbridge area, and bordering areas as well, from families who simply cannot get school places and have not been told that they have school places. Now, the minister, when she came before us at the last time in the Shannon, which was approximately about 2 to 3 weeks ago, told us that there was an issue in relation to the Kildare Town school, the new school there, that she was going to put places available to parents. And I've also received calls from schools in that area as well. We don't have the detail of that yet, and I'm going to get on to the minister again this week as to what actually means for those parents. So those parents last week who rang me, they still don't have the detail of that special places that are going to be provided in the new school that's in the McGee Barracks. So we don't have that detail. We need to get that detail to give the parents that certainty for their loved ones. And I'm calling on the minister to provide that. She's told me that she's working on it, her department are working on it. We need to see the data. I know the public representatives have been on to her, and they've been given the same response, that there will be places available in September. But we just need the detail and the certainty that that will provide for parents.
Okay, that's Labour Senator in Kildare, Mark Wall. Thanks for joining us, Mark, on those education issues. And we're going to stay with the topic of education because Book Selling Ireland is warning of a risk that children won't have school books in time for the start of the next school year. Dawn Behan is Chair of Book Selling Ireland. Good morning, Dawn. And thanks indeed for joining us, Dawn, this morning. Tell us a bit about Book Selling Ireland, first of all, who you are and what you stand for.
So Book Selling Ireland represents bookshops in Ireland, independent and chain bookshops. We're part of the Booksellers Association of UK and Ireland. So our job is to advocate for bookshops and booksellers.
All right. OK, so what are your concerns then in terms of the rollout of the free school books for children?
Yeah, so, well, first of all, we are in favour of free school books for children. Brilliant scheme. It could be really good for parents who have primary school children. What we're worried about is the logistics of it, how it's going to work. Will the books be in the schools in time for when the kids go back in September? Because guidelines haven't been issued to schools yet on how the scheme is going to work. They're due to be issued on 31st of March and the funding will follow after. So we've had two meetings with the Department of Education and basically they've said that schools are responsible for sourcing their own books and it's between the schools and the bookshops or publishers, whatever way the schools want to get the books. But teachers don't seem to have been kept in the loop with this, so they're kind of in the dark. They don't know how it works or what's going to happen.
Okay, so generally speaking then, how does this process actually work? Because parents listening or, you know, students listening to us this morning will know, you know, how they get the books in the school, but they might not see what happens behind the scenes. So what way does it work? How do we get the books into the schools?
So what would normally happen is schools would send out a book list to the parents. Parents would come into a bookshop, buy the books, can happen all during the summer, and the kids go in with their books in September. But if the way this changes, all the background work will fall on the schools, either the principal or the secretary, to arrange for all the books for everybody in the school to be ready. So it's a complete change in how the school book ecosystem works. So from our point of view, it will change to big orders from schools rather than small orders throughout the summer. We'll have to coordinate with schools for how the books are going to be delivered, and the school will have to provide somebody to take in the books, sort out the books, all this kind of thing. So it just seems to be a lot of work will fall on the teachers.
And
they're already overworked.
What response and what kind of engagement have you had with the Department of Education?
We had two meetings with them. We had one online meeting in December and then one in person in February, and they told us that they'd show us the guidelines before they came out. We haven't seen them yet, and they told us that really, once the funding is issued, it's between schools and school book suppliers to sort out the nuts and bolts of how the books get to the schools.
Okay, and yourselves at Bookselling Ireland have put forward a set of recommendations to avoid any complications. Can you take us through maybe those recommendations?
So, what we think would work best to keep it as close as possible to the way things work at the moment is to use a voucher system. So some schools already do this. For disadvantaged pupils or vulnerable pupils, they give the parents a voucher. The parents bring the voucher into the bookshop. They're given the books, and then the bookshop invoices the school for the books. So if that happened, it would spread the work throughout the summer, because the parents would still go into the bookshop. They just wouldn't have to pay for the books. Booksellers could invoice the schools throughout the summer. So it keeps the cash flow as well, because when booksellers buy the school books, they have to pay the publishers. At the moment, because it's spread throughout the summer, the cash flow runs throughout the summer, whereas this new scheme, because the schools are paying for all the books, it's up to the booksellers to get the money from the schools. If the schools don't pay till October, it's going to stop everything along the way, because if we can't pay the publishers can't print more books, and then there's no books available.
Just remind us how it's actually going to impact parents then. What changes will they see compared to last year?
For parents, it should be great. They don't have to buy the books anymore. They shouldn't get book lists at all. Assuming that the schools are going to buy all the books, the children will just go in. And this is the way the department sees it working, is that the children will go into the school, books, classroom resources will all be there. Parents won't have to do anything.
Right.
But we don't actually know the nuts and bolts of how it's going to work, because the guidelines haven't been issued yet.
All right. Okay, we'll have to keep an eye on it. Those guidelines are due to be issued by the end of March, is that what you said?
Yeah, 31st of March is when they're due to be issued to primary schools. And then it's up to them to figure out how they're going to get the books or what will work best for them.
Okay.
But I think, the voucher system should work best for the schools as well, because it moves the administration. Well, it keeps the administration with booksellers rather than moving the administration onto schools. They just have to issue the vouchers.
Okay. On that note, that's Dawn Behan, Chair of Bookselling Ireland, with those concerns. Thanks for joining us, Dawn, and good morning. As Dawn said, in theory, this is a good move, and it's going to impact parents positively regarding free school books. And obviously, if you're a parent listening, that is welcome. What Bookselling Ireland are saying is that they need help in actually rolling out the books, otherwise children won't be able to access the books and they won't have them on time. So they need more engagement with the Department of Education. But I think, that is a good move, positive move there, because particularly with the cost of living crisis, we know how it's been impacting people's pockets over the last year or thereabouts. Just before we take a break, I'm sure you've probably heard this, but to remind you, President Joe Biden has confirmed that he intends to visit Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland to mark the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. He's expected to travel to a number of locations on both sides of the border next month. No dates have yet been confirmed for the trip, and the US president is not expected to travel on the actual anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, which is on the 10th of April. It's understood the visit is more likely to take place the following week. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar confirmed that he intends to renew the invitation to Mr. Biden to visit Ireland when he attends the St. Patrick's Day reception at the White House. There was intense speculation for months that President Biden was keen to visit Ireland to mark the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. And Mr. Biden was speaking after British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak formally invited him to visit Northern Ireland during a joint press conference. So that is the latest. Joe Biden expected to visit Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland next month.